It's time for Hoop Talk, presented by Olympia Orthopedic Associates on 95.3 KGY. A weekly look at high school basketball in the area with your host, Noel Wall, and Olympian prep contributor, Dave Weber.
And good morning and welcome to Hoop Talk for today. Another wonderful Friday here at the KGY studios. In today's show, let's see, we're getting closer to knowing what the brackets are for Washington State basketball tournaments coming up next week. We are going to hear from Olympia girls coach Dustin Workman and a couple of players there later on today. Plus, I've got Timberline coach Alan Thomas and some players. We're going to hear from them, as well as some wrestling. Dave talked with Yelm coaches Gaylord Strand and Amy Early, both the boys and the girls coaches. And Dave, people are getting ready for wrestling this weekend.
Yeah, they are, me included. I'll be going up there later today, and one of my busiest weekends of the year. I have to do some coverage for both the Spokane spokesman and the Olympians, so look forward to the reward at the end of it, but it is a couple of busy days for me.
I bet it is.
And for about 20,000 other people that show up at the event.
Yeah, yes. So that'll be a lot of fun, I think, there at the Tacoma Dome. South Sound's big annual sailing event is this weekend. I'll talk about Taliba Shoal Race at the end of the show. But we had talked about earlier in the season and that kind of stuff. We talked about college signings and those kind of things. I'm not sure if this qualifies for a signing, but one of the Northwest Christian football players is going to play at the next level.
Yeah, it's interesting to note that you can come out of a six-man program and actually get an offer to play 11-man. And that is Isaac Apadurai, who is one of their top four or five players on that team. And he received an offer to play for Avila University, which is a NAIA school back in Kansas City. So just goes to show that if you're a good player, they'll find you no matter what level you're playing at.
Fantastic job. That's really great to hear. Well, let's see. Let's move on to basketball. Rainier Mountaineers, boys won at Iowaka last Friday, I think.
Actually, they did not win. They were knocked out of the tournament 74-49 by Iowaka. They're finished for the season at 13-8.
Okay, I read that wrong.
Yeah, the Iowaka's pretty tough. And their senior scoring leader for the year, Ian Sprowski, led the way in that game. In his final high school game, he scored 17 points. And freshman Jake Meldrum added 12, so they definitely have some things in the pipeline coming up there for next season. As far as the girls, the Mountaineers are still alive at 16-7. They took a tough loss last night. They got whacked 60-38 by Wakayakum, but a victory over Forks earlier in the week kept them going in the right direction in the consolation bracket. Last night, the Mules just scored early and often, took them out of the game. Brooklyn Swenson and Faith Besh led Rainier with just 9 points each. But they're still alive, and they will be playing a winner to regionals loser out game tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. at WF West High School in Chehalis. And just to look back on how those schools did in the Central 2B against each other, the Mountaineers lost both of those meetings with the Loggers, but the second game they lost by only 2 points. So it will be a competitive game, and the winner will move on, and the loser will go on to whatever they do during the spring.
All right. Yes. I'm surprised to hear the Wakayakum game was such a big spread, because they beat Forks by 22 earlier in the week.
Yeah. I know, it just, you know, sometimes basketball just goes that way. The Mules had a 21-3 run in the first quarter, second quarter, and that kind of took the doubt out of the final outcome. Because if you look at that, that's an 18-point spread just in that run, and the final was 22. So after that debacle, the Mounties played pretty well, but just couldn't get back in it.
Yeah. All right. Moving on to Tenino, the Beaver boys, I think, lost at Elma last week.
Yeah, they are finished for the year. They, what they call in softball, 2-Q, because in softball, if you lose your first two games, you have your barbecue and go home. But they lost their first two playoff games to finish at 7-11, so they were one of the last teams into the playoffs. Elma beat them last Saturday, 51-38. Will Feltis led the way with 12 points against Delma. The Eagles did a good job on Takari Hickel, who had burned them for 20 or more points during each of the two regular season meetings between the teams. This time he only had 8, so that was a difference in that one for Elma. The girls are still alive. They are 17-5 on the year. They won 2 straight tournament games in a fashion that shows that they are a defensive team. They beat Seton Catholic 46-24. And then check out this next score for the 21st century basketball scene, 27-21 over La Center.
That is amazing.
And that's a game with a shot clock. And, you know, it sounds like a game my dad would have played back in the 30s when they had a jump ball after every basket. But that Beaver defense is incredibly tough. And in that game, another good sign for them was that they didn't solely rely on Ashley Scow to do all their scoring. Olivia Hunter led the way. She had 11 points of the 27. And that actually guaranteed the Beavers a berth in the state tournament, the regionals now, but the final 16, as it's always been referred to as state. And that's the first time they have made it that far in 10 years. So a big defensive effort on 2 games. They will play Montesano, their league nemesis, for the 3rd time. They have been beaten by the Bulldogs twice this season. They will play them, though, for the District 4 championship Saturday at 6 p.m. at Rochester. Even though both are already moving on, they will play for the district title.
Okay, so it's probably seeding purposes, that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, they consider, you know, you get a banner for the district tournament, too.
It's something, that's right. Sure.
Something you can put up in your gym. So it's meaningful, but it doesn't have anything to do with whether you make state or not.
All right. We are going to skip around a little bit this morning and move right up to 4A and Olympia, where both the boys and the girls are doing pretty well. Let's see. I see the boys fell to Tahoma of Maple Valley Saturday, but beat Emerald Ridge Wednesday to set up a game tonight.
Well, I actually have it. Yeah, that's right. There's a game tonight and tomorrow. They have a home game tonight at 7. And if they were to win that game, then they will play on Saturday in a regional seeding game. They will have made it to state with a win tonight against Sumner. So that will be an important game for them. The girls are 19-7. They actually started out in a loser-out first-round game, meaning they weren't considered one of the top seeds at all. But they have won 3 straight by district games. They beat Union, which is the game where we talked to the coach afterwards. And Natalia McBride had 21 points to lead the way. That was like 3 times her season average at that point. And then they went on to beat higher seeds, Tahoma and Kentwood. So they have been doing really well. And they are into state, and they will travel to Rogers of Puyallup. There'll be a 4 p.m. game tomorrow to decide districts 3 and 4, 5th or 6th seed to state. So good job by the Olympia girls, who, if they'd have lost their first playoff game, they would have been completely out. But they have won 3 straight.
That's awesome. And you talked to their coach, Dustin Workman. You also talked to Natalia McBride, who you mentioned a moment ago. What can you tell us about that before we listen to that interview?
Well, it's a little bit old. You know, that's after the first game when they played Union in the 4A playoffs. That was at their place. It was a loser out game, and they did a tremendous job defensively. And then also Natalia McBride, who was averaging 8.3 points per game, came up with a big 21 point outburst. She definitely had a double double. Nobody was keeping track of rebounds, but everybody that was in the conversation was certain that she grabbed at least 10. So great outing for her. Not really sure what's happened as far as who their top scorers have been the last couple games, but that was the situation on the first game.
Okay, well, let's hear that interview right now. Here is Olympia coach Dustin Workman, followed by Natalia McBride.
Either your defense really worked or they just weren't shooting it well. What were you trying to do on defense?
So we played man all year, and I think that as a coaching staff, we do a pretty good job of being super prepared for their sets. And I think matchup-wise, we were able to really defend their guards, because they do take a lot of threes, and I think our guards are super long and long enough to get over top
of them. Yeah, a bunch of blocks.
Yeah, and we can defend smaller guards on the perimeter, and we knew that we had to take away their dribble penetration because they just like to get downhill and kick it, and so I was just really proud of how we defended on the perimeter.
And then offensively, would you say you were kind of cold in the first half?
Yeah, and especially in the third quarter, I think that we got lots of good, you're right, in the first half, we got lots of good looks out of our motion. We had lots of good looks in the corner against our 1-3-1, and I just think we got plenty of looks. We just didn't, we just didn't knock them down.
And then as far as Natalia, when she got in foul trouble, were you a little bit worried there, because that's when they caught up when she was on the bench?
Yeah, maybe a little, but I think we got some pretty good depth as far as we know that we can defend. We can bring people off the floor to defend, and I just thought offensively we just didn't execute as well as we probably should have. Part of that is she demands so much attention defensively, but I think there was other factors in too. But yeah, we knew we had to get her. I mean, we put her back in with 3 minutes to go in the third, and we had to get her back in there. Yeah.
And lastly, I guess you played either Tahoma or Billerman.
Yeah, we played the loser.
And I know you played Billerman, obviously, but do you know much about Tahoma?
They have a lot of guards, and they like to run the Grinnell stuff, so they run and gun. They'll shoot 30-plus, 35 threes a game, and it's like pass.
I've seen a high school girls team do that before.
No.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and they'll run sideline break, and it's just like pass, corner three, and they just shoot it. They run and let it fly. They don't have any bigs, so you got to try to control the tempo against them.
Interesting. So you didn't play them yet?
No, we haven't played them yet. Yeah, we played them in the fall, in a fall league game.
Okay.
So.
And that is Dustin Workman, the Olympia girls basketball coach. And if I've got my timing right, this is player Natalia McBride.
So turning attention to you, the guards weren't making a lot of shots early, and you ended up scoring well over double your average. So how did that come about?
I think just my teammates believing in me and knowing that if they got me the ball, then I'd be able to do something with it. And just me trusting that they'll be there if I can't get something up too.
Did you see something in there in the way they were defending your team that allowed you to slide to the basket so much and get the post-up shots and the roll-type shots?
Yeah, they left the middle wide open, which is just field day for me, so...
Okay, and rebound-wise, how were you able to get so many rebounds tonight?
Just boxing out and then getting the ball.
Overall, were you guys coming in the first round, especially that loser-out game, was that a lot of pressure?
I think we understood the amount of pressure that it was, but didn't let it shake us. We just knew what we had to do and got it done.
Okay, and last question, when you did go out with the three fouls, were you sitting on the bench thinking that when you got back in there, you had to make a difference? Because I know immediately, and it was a free throw rebound, but you immediately got a rebound and you scored a couple of buckets right away. Was that something you were planning to do when you were sitting out?
I had faith in my team that they could keep it together while I was out. And then when I came back in, I was just ready to play like normal.
Okay.
All right. The Olympia girls still playing, but have basically punched their ticket to the state tournament.
They have indeed. And we'll see how they do. They've had a good record all season long, so it's not really a shocker that they made it, but it is impressive to see how they were able to win three straight games like that to get there.
Yeah, very nice to see. We've got some teams in the tournament, and we got more coming up. That's the end of our first segment this morning. Don't go away. Coming up, we've got the 2A schools. Later on, Matt Classic begins today. We're going to hear the setup for that, plus we've got the Yelm boys and girls wrestling coaches. Right now, though, we got to look at weather, traffic, and a word from our sponsors. Don't go away. We got more Hoop Talk coming after this on 95.3 Olympia's KGY.
KGY South Sound Traffic.
You're in good shape in Olympia as you head north on I-5 towards Lacey. Anticipate crowding on 167 northbound in Sumner towards Auburn. In Lakewood, if you are headed westbound on 512, you will experience a buildup starting as you approach Still Street. That's the latest from South Sound Traffic Control. I'm Ana Luisa Seves.
Live and let die.
It's coming Monday. Battle the Brits to win new tickets to see Paul McCartney. Starts Monday lunchtime at Olympia's KGY.
sponsored by Sylvania. On dark, foggy roads, do your fog lights provide the visibility you need? Upgrade to LEDs from Sylvania, the leader in automotive lighting. Experience how advanced optical design leads to superior downroad clarity. Visit the Sylvania website to find your LED bulbs today.
We paid how much for those lessons?
Shh, she's doing great.
Oh yeah, totally. Can you pass me a Pepsi Zero Sugar? Great job, honey! Oh, well, look at that. That's not the end.
No way. Now it's time for the encore.
You know what? You're right. Five times? Not enough times.
For everyone who traded in rock concerts for their kids' recitals, you've compromised enough. Pepsi Zero Sugar. That's what I like.
COVID-19 has tested our communities in unthinkable ways. In the face of crisis, Puget Sound Energy has given over $18 million in bill assistance to customers impacted by the pandemic, and together with PSE Foundation, gave $4 million in community grants for COVID relief. All the while, PSE continues to lead on clean energy, with a goal to reach beyond net zero carbon emissions by 2045. It's part of our commitment to doing what's right for customers and communities. Together, we're creating a clean energy future for all. Learn more at psc.com/together.
Is your first step in the morning painful? At the end of the workday, are your aching feet the only thing on your mind? At Foot and Ankle Surgical Associates, our orthotics are specially made devices designed to support and comfort your feet. Our doctors use orthotics to treat all kinds of foot and heel pain. If you have pain, make an appointment with a specialist here today. End foot and heel pain. Call 360-754-FEET.
Helping you put your best foot forward.
Angie's List is now Angie, and getting your to-do list done just got easier. Between back to school and with the holidays around the corner, it can feel like there's no time to tackle home projects. Whether you need help with emergency repairs or major upgrades, Angie matches you with top local pros who can get the job done right. Browse reviews, see upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Save time for what matters most. Book your next project at Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Olympia's greatest hits, 95.3.
Good morning and welcome back to Hoop Talk with Dave Weber and me, Noel Wall. And we are here thanks to sponsors like L&E Bottling, who is our local Pepsi distributor. And we're so glad that they are proud to support high school sports coverage right here on KGY. Also, Cut Rate Auto Parts. If you got a 40-year-old car, you know it's a classic. It's worth some money. If you got a 4-year-old car these days, though, with the supply line issues and all that, your car's worth quite a bit. You don't want to let it go. If you can't part with your car, Cut Rate has your car's part. We are up to 2A, where Shelton High Climbers saw some action this week. The boys did, anyway.
They did. The girls are finished for the year, but the boys had playoff games that they all out to 9-0. They lost both, and they're done. They fell to R.A. Long, and then they played third-seeded WFOS. Very tough. It was a 45-42 nail-biter, and Shelton led by 4 points after three quarters, but just couldn't hold on to the end and ended up getting eliminated. Mason Goose led the Climbers with 11 points against WFW.
All right. And then on to Black Hills, where the Wolf boys had a loss and a win, but that was before seeing 13-8 Mark Morris yesterday.
Yeah, and Mark Morris drove up to Tumwater and beat the Wolves in their hometown, not on their home court. The game was at Tumwater High School, but kind of blew them out a little bit, 80-57, and that ends things for Black Hills on the year with a record of 13-10. Their forward, Keegan Rongan, who's been impressive second half of the season, he's been extremely good. He had 16 points for the Wolves, and Luke Ellison, who's been their leading scorer a lot, added 14.
All right, and then there were two in our 2A high school coverage. Tumwater
right.
Boys still doing okay?
Yeah, boys and girls are both doing very well. Boys are 19-3. They've beaten Woodland and Ridgefield in the playoffs, and in that most recent 51-46 victory over the Sputters, which clinched a regional playoff berth for the T-Birds, Ryan Otten led the way with 15 points. He's done that more and more through about the 12 or 13 game mark. He had been averaging about 5 points a game, and the guards had done anything and everything. But the last couple of weeks, Ryan Otten has been the leading scorer a few times.
We've heard his name a lot,
Yeah, he's a 6'7" post, and they have been using him more and more. Connor Hopkins had 12, though, and Andrew Collins had 10. So the guards were also involved. And tonight in Longview, again, in Longview, but not on the team they're playing's court, they'll be at Mark Morris. Tumwater will meet R.A. Long for the district championship. And that's kind of an interesting note because the script has been flipped a little bit down there in Longview, where Mark Morris has always been the dominant force and R.A. Long kind of the afterthought. But R.A. Long has had the better basketball team this year.
They are 18-2, if I read it right.
Yeah, and they'll be playing Tumwater for the district championship. And that actually will be a doubleheader for the Tumwater teams down on that court, as the girls will play there at 6 p.m. against Hudson's Bay for the girls' district championship. And the Thunderbird girls reached the title game with blowout victories over R.A. Long and also Washougal. And in Monday's 46-26 defeat of the what they call the Lumberjills at R.A. Long,
right.
Tumwater held them to under 20% shooting. And Aubrey Amendola led with 14 points. And Natalie Sumrock added 12.
All right, just to be clear, these are not loser-out games for either the Tumwater boys or girls. Is that correct?
Oh, no. They've made it to the regionals. This is strictly for the glory of winning the district championship and also for a better seed into state.
All right.
So
very good. Well, let's... Go ahead.
We got a little trivia about Aubrey Amendola.
Okay.
So here's the trivia question. Is she recently committed to Dixie State University, but she will not go to Dixie State University, although she has not changed her mind. What am I talking about?
Oh, my goodness. Did the university change names? Or?
It did. It will next year it will be known as Utah Tech. So I was looking at a Twitter account that follows the WAC conference, and I was looking through the standings, and I saw this UTU, and I was like, what is this guy talking about, UTU? So I noticed that Dixie State wasn't listed in his listing, and I checked it out, and it turns out that on July 1st, Dixie State turns into Utah Tech. So for all you mid-major fans out there, mark that down.
That is awesome. That's amazing. Okay, well, good for her. And we're going to hear more about her, I hope, in the years to come as her...
I'm sure we will. She's a good player.
Yeah, very good. All right. Well, there we have the end of that segment right there with the 2As. We do have our 3A schools to come up, including interviews with Timberline's Alan Thomas, the coach, also players Miles Gursky and Daryl Gibson. Later on, we've got wrestling. Matt Classic starts today. We'll hear from Yelm girls coach Amy Early, and the boys coach Gaylord Strand is pretty much an institution in wrestling locally. But first, we've got a look at news, or not news, weather, traffic. Some news from our sponsors, I imagine. They'll want you to hear. Don't go away. We'll be back. It's Hoop Talk on 95.3 Olympia's KGY.
KGY South Sound Traffic.
You're in good shape in Olympia as you head north on I-5 towards Lacey. Anticipate crowding on 167 northbound in Sumner towards Auburn. In Lakewood, if you are headed westbound on 512, you will experience a buildup starting as you approach Steele Street. That's the latest from South Sound Traffic Control. I'm Ana Luisa Estevez.
Hey, y'all. Did you know there's a bounty at the beach? So all you bounty hunters, come join the hunt for $10,000 cash and free play every Thursday. Play for the $10,000 bounty at the beach at Quinault Beach Resort and Casino. Winners happen here.
Tumwater Area Chamber of Commerce, invested in the success of your business. You're invited to Tumwater Chamber's Winter Golf and Networking event. Ever play or heard of Top Golf? Join other chamber members at Airport Golf Center for a fun evening, including 3 hours of Top Tracer Golf, a fun and skill-building driving range experience created by Top Golf. Test your golf skills and make new connections at Tumwater Chamber's Winter Golf Event. Register to attend online. Visit TumwaterChamber.com.
I am Dr. Adam Salih. Today I wanted to talk to you about heel pain. Some causes can be what's called plantar fasciitis. Another common reason can be Achilles tendonitis. The best way to treat heel pain is resting, icing, and elevation. However, don't suffer from foot and ankle pain. Let the doctors of Foot and Ankle Surgical Associates help you get back to your daily activities and active lifestyle. Visit anklefoot.net to schedule your appointment today.
Do it yourself? Since 1955, Cut Rate Auto Parts has been making it easier. From expert advice to a huge selection of parts at discount prices to their AutoBucks Rewards program, they're there for you. DIY is even easier with Cut Rate's Do-It-Yourself Plus. They'll help you hook up a new battery, test your alternator, install your new windshield wiper blades, or diagnose what that check engine light needs. Great prices, great value, and a little help with Do-It-Yourself Plus. Do it with them today at Elma, Aberdeen, Shelton, or Lacey, or check out CutRateAutoParts.com.
Cut Rate Auto Parts.
We got your part.
Sports Fans, Spin Tees Screen Print and Graphics gives you the very best printing and embroidery. Perfect for teams, schools, companies, or special events. Get excellent quality, custom design, quick turnaround, and low pricing. Count on Spin Tees for quality brands like Port Authority, Sport Tech, and District Threads. Easy ordering and results you'll love. 1025 Black Lake Boulevard in Olympia. Online at SpinTeesPrints.com. Friend Spin Tees on Facebook.
Morning clouds and patchy fog in some areas. Winds will be light today, highs in the upper 40s, and continue to be in the 40s throughout the weekend. Tonight repeats the clouds and the fog routine with lows in the low 40s.
And we are back with Hoop Talk on a Friday morning. He is Dave, I am Noel, and we are here thanks to people like Foot and Ankle Surgical Associates. If you can believe it, they are celebrating 20 years of helping patients in our area get up and get moving and maintaining good health. You can find them online at anklefoot.net. Also, Spin Tees, we just heard about them in the last spot, I believe. They do excellent work, just like I said in the ad. You can find Spin Tees at their new location in the west side behind Minuteman Press, or better yet, find them online at SpinTeesPrints.com. And I know for a fact they'll take Bitcoin in payment. Dave, we're up to 3A. Capital Boys, they were alive, but a couple of losses, I think, is going to have changed that picture.
Yeah, they finished the regular season there, 500 at 9-9. They lost two by-district playoff games, one to Mount Tahoma, one to Evergreen. And as I said before, that's 2-2, so they are done. Girls didn't make the playoffs, so Capital, the eyes at Capital Athletic Department turned to the spring sports season, and wrestling, of course.
Yeah, there we go. All right, Yelm, the boys had a two-point loss to Mountain View, I think.
Yeah, that was, they were the very last seed in the by-district 3A playoffs. They were actually supposed to play Bainbridge in a play-in game. That got canceled. Yelm got sent straight in. And they got 24 points from Marius Aalona, but they lost that game by a couple of points. Finished 6-11. And we just, the trivia just keeps on coming, because that game was of note, as it is the last game that will be played in the current Mountain View High School's gym. There's going to be a new campus opening up next fall under the name of Mountain View down there in Vancouver. So even though they lost, the Tornadoes were in on history for that one.
Oh, wow. There we go. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey,
girls.
Go ahead. They also had a loss, I think.
Yeah, they did make the playoffs. And they beat Mount Tahoma in a loser-out game, 58-27. But then they had to come back and play another loser-out game, and this time they lost to Bonnie Lake. So they are finished for the year at 11-8.
Okay, but made the playoffs. That's good. North Thurston, I'm not sure exactly what's going on there.
Well, we'll talk first about the, well, we'll talk only about the girls, because the boys were not a playoff team. Girls are the story in the area right now for basketball. They have, during the shortened spring season, they were just 4-8, and they have not been to the state tournament in 28 years. But that all changed. They are now 19-2. They lost their opening round by district playoff game to Auburn. That was a game between two of the better teams for automatic trip to state, and they lost that one, so they had to go through the consolation bracket to make it to state, which they did by beating Todd Beamer and Peninsula. And 3A South Sound Conference Most Valuable Player Tay Birdtail has been scorching hot from the outside. She made 8 threes against Beamer and I think 6 more against the Seahawks. So she has been doing what a senior wants to do, carrying her team in the playoffs. But she's definitely not alone. They have a sensational freshman point guard at Thurston in Soraya Ogadez. And post Laney Borcher has also been contributing mightily to their cause. So they will play a seeding game for regionals tomorrow at home against Bonnie Lake at 1 p.m. What a turnaround for them. And it's a great moment for their girls basketball program.
Yes, it is.
Has not been to state since 1994. That was their third straight appearance in 94. So maybe a new little dynasty is taking effect now.
That would be a lot of fun, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Well, unless you're one of the other teams in the South Sound.
I suppose that's true. I'm just looking at it from the spectator's point of view here.
From their perspective, it certainly would be. It would be like just a new thing. You know, they've just never been that team in girls basketball. And this year, they very definitely are.
Yeah. All right. Moving on to Timberline. My notes say the girls beat Central Kitsap by 3. Was that this week or last week?
That was a long time ago.
Okay.
They did play this week, but they lost. They had to go to Prairie, I believe, and play the Falcons down there in Prairie. I think I remember talking about this last week when my daughter played for Timberline. They played Prairie in districts.
Yeah.
That didn't go too well, and I saw them later play Prairie at Olympia in a neutral site district game. That didn't go too well either, and it didn't work out for them this time either. So Timberline finishes 8-9 in girls basketball. But before we dismiss them, we should note, once again, they started out the year extremely sadly. They were like 2-6, I believe, and rallied to make the playoffs with a victory on the last day of the season. That was that Central Kitsap game you're talking about. They had to win that one to make the postseason. They did win it, and so they did lose right off the bat to Prairie. But, you know, a good comeback towards the end of the year for Timberline, and they are not going to be happy to see North Thurston on top, and we'll preview working their hardest to see if they can bring them back down a little bit.
I'm sure they will. The boys, meanwhile, doing pretty well. They beat Todd Beamer pretty well Saturday. And then I don't know what happened yesterday with the Highlanders.
Well, I happen to have some information on that. They beat the Highlanders of Kelso, and they are bound for state. With that, by virtue of that win, Miles Gursky went completely off in that game. He scored 37 points and made it a double-double by grabbing 10 rebounds. Daryl Gibson, their sophomore post, added 21 points. And the usual scoring leader, Brooklyn Hicks, though, was held to 6 points, twisted his ankle or something right after halftime. But he did grab 12 rebounds before he sat down. Very interesting situation for them. They are going to play at third-seeded Auburn for the bi-district championship tonight at 7:30 p.m. And that's not really something somebody did to hurt the Blazers. I think it was always intended that this game be played at Auburn High School. And even though the Blazers are the higher seed, they're just going to have to deal with it and play Auburn on their home court. The biggest problem, though, is that Brooklyn Hicks was injured slightly, as we mentioned. Miles Gursky was slightly injured, had an ankle injury at the end of that game after scoring 37 points. So it will be, I imagine that they will be either not playing much or not playing at all tonight as they look ahead towards state. But those are their two top scorers, and it's going to be very important that they heal up by the time the state tournament comes around.
Yes. And, I kind of got a little ahead of myself here on this because I should have talked about the Todd Beamer game a little bit more. And then because you got sound, I think, from the coach and players.
Yeah.
And that was after that game, right?
That was an interesting game as well. That was their opening playoff game and was close for a little while. The first quarter was airtight. And at halftime, the Blazers were only up by a few, and then they just went berserk in the second half and ended up winning 70-40. So, it was kind of a show done down the stretch as they had won the game and they were throwing lobs and bombing threes and so forth. So it was a fun game to watch if you're a Blazers fan.
All right. Well, let's listen to those interviews. It's Timberline coach Alan Thomas. And we'll follow that up with players Miles Gerske and Daryl Gibson.
I remember the only other game I came to, you said, you don't want to be good in January, I want to be good in February. Yeah. Now it's February, it looks like you're pretty good. Are you happy with the progress?
Absolutely. It's been a long process for us. Guys are trusting each other. We're playing good basketball at the right time. And our guys are coming together.
Sounds like you've been doing a lot of going.
A lot of going.
How important was rebounding, especially with the job Daryl did?
Huge. Daryl and Brooklyn do a great job on the glass for us. Without them, we struggle at rebounding. So collectively, we did a good job tonight.
With a player like Brooklyn, didn't get off to a lightning start. I think he had 10 by halftime, but he wasn't any of his usual glamorous type stuff.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, the second half, he just kicks in and he's making his spectacular plays. Is that something he's done consistently throughout the year, way better lately?
Yeah, we usually just better as the game goes along. He's solid on all aspects of the game. He doesn't need plays to call for him. He can just go get a bucket.
There's Timberline coach Alan Thomas, who following the win over Todd Beamer sounds like he needs to learn sign language to save his voice. Here are players Miles Gerske and Daryl Gibson.
So how often do you guys practice a lob dunk from one side to the other?
We go over plays every day.
Yeah.
Try to execute it as much as possible. You know, that's one of the plays that'll get the crowd going and the fans cheering.
It's almost harder to be the passer than the dunker on that one, isn't it?
Yeah. It's fun to be the passer on that one.
So you had a couple of clutch threes in the second quarter.
Yes.
Were you at all concerned when they stayed with you guys for a while?
Nah, I always believe that we could execute down the stretch on defense, fix our stuff at halftime. You know, those threes were good finds by my teammates, and it just happened to go in at the time.
All right, very good. And Daryl, looks like you're trying to show off your athleticism a little bit more lately.
Yeah, I've been working on it over like the summer and season, and just trying to execute it so I can do that for.
So what about rebounding, though? You guys, when you place a team like that that's throwing up a lot of threes, does that become more important to get the rebounds and give them second chances?
Yeah, getting rebounds becomes like really important because if they're throwing up threes and they're getting second chance points off the threes, they're obviously benefiting.
You got some follows of your own on offense as well. So,
yeah.
So how do you guys feel going up against and going into the next round? Do you guys feel pretty good about it, what you did tonight?
We're confident. We got a lot of things that we can fix, you know, come in sharper next game. But if we play the way we play and lock in defensively, we should make a run in state and district.
How about you, Daryl? What do you think?
I feel like with this team and our confidence and how bonding we are together, I feel like if we play together, there's not a team out here in Washington State that can beat us together.
All right, very good. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Miles Gerske and Daryl Gibson of Timberline Blazers. And Dave, sound like they really appreciated the chance for a little, I want to call it showboating.
No, it wasn't really showboating that play. You know, I people kind of think that when you see a dunk, but it's just, they're just good. I mean,
right.
that lob dunk was, I think, you know, Alan played for Evergreen when I was the AD out there. And the coach at that time, John Barbie, I think he had this play called Houston that was a lob pass from the weak side for a dunk. And if that's what that was, he remembered that play really well and taught it really well because, you know, it looks like showboating, but it was a very disciplined play to get that pass right where Brooklyn needed it to throw it down. So, I mean, they're probably one of the most disciplined teams around, but when they get on a roll and you have talent like they do, you know, Brooklyn Hicks is kind of a special individual. He's a junior. He already has a couple of Pac-12 offers. So when that group gets going, it's fun to watch.
Yeah. And, of course, it did sound like they really have it together. And like you said, like they said, it's one of the things that does bring the crowd into a game because they love big dramatic plays like that.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's the thing about there's basketball as coaches see it, which is a lot of cutting and moving and screening and rolling and, you know, slipping screens and all this type of stuff. And then there's what the fans see, which is, as you know from watching ESPN's top plays every week, it's three-pointers and dunks. You know, that's what the fans love to see. And Timberline's good at both of them. So when their fans are there and they get going, they do get that vocal support they're looking for.
And they'll play again this week and are definitely headed to the tournament.
They are headed to the tournament, and Hopefully I didn't, by doing that interview, give their potential opponents bulletin board material, because you heard Darrell Gibson say it, that they don't think there's a team in Washington that can beat them.
Right.
And if that turns out to be the case, there may be a parade in Lacey.
That could be a lot of fun. All right. We'll see what happens. Don't go away. Man, is there a bunch of stuff left to go. In our next segment, we're going to talk a little bit about swimming. Olympia's got a new volleyball coach. We'll hear about that. Wrestling, the state tournament is today. Matt Classic, the big all-classification, both-gender tournament today and tomorrow in the Tacoma Dome. We're going to set that up for you. I've got some ideas for lunch in Tacoma if you happen to go there. I've got a little bit about a big sailboat race that happens this Saturday, tomorrow, on Bud Inlet, starts in Bud Inlet, and I've got an Olympics trivia question that I told Dave earlier is my favorite. All that and more coming up. Don't go away. It's Hoop Talk. This is Olympia's 95.3 KGY.
KGY South Sound traffic.
In Tenino on 507, both north and southbound lanes are closed at 184th Avenue southeast to 180th Avenue until 4:30 p.m. You have a pleasant drive from Tacoma heading southbound to Lakewood. On 99 southbound and 5 Heights, you can expect delays at Porter Way. That's the latest from South Sound Traffic Control. I'm Ana Luisa Seves.
Well, hi, this is Rick Dees.
I know you are, but what am I?
All right, the weekly top 40 is what we are, happening here this weekend. Don't forget the weekly top 40 challenge. I want you to win this great super VHS video recording system and two crisp new $100 bills this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Look out for Patrick Swayze, the heartthrob, here live in the studio this weekend, plus the 40 most sizzling hits all over the USA. We'll see you for the weekly top 40 here this weekend.
Rick D's Retro Top 40 this Saturday from 8 o'clock right here at Olympia's KGY.
Sponsored by Mattress Firm. Unjunk your sleep during the President's Day sale at Mattress Firm. Shop now and get a king bed for a queen price, plus a free adjustable base with purchase. Don't miss hot buys like beds starting at just $159.99, plus Tempur-Pedic savings.
If you have COVID-19 tests at home, you've probably wondered, when should I use them? Sometimes are better than others. If you have COVID symptoms, take a test. If you've had an exposure but no symptoms, wait 5 days to test. If you want to be sure you don't have COVID before meeting up with others, test as shortly beforehand as possible. That's all there is to it. Just follow the directions in the package. To learn more, visit doh.wa.gov/testing. A message from the Washington State Department of Health.
Nothing brings the family together like a home-cooked meal. Let Whirlpool and Maytag appliances help you handle what the day brings. From smart cooking to dependable dishwashers, McKinney's Appliance has it all. With the largest selection of Whirlpool and Maytag appliances in the area, you're sure to find the perfect appliances for your cooking needs. Shop for the best appliances with the latest features at McKinney's Appliance today. McKinney's Appliance, serving Southwest Washington since 1972.
You've decided it's time. The junk has to go now. Call G3 Junk Removal with their one-hour response pledge. During business hours, you'll get a call back within an hour, a quote the same day. And that's just the start. Their white glove treatment eliminates your problem quickly and with respect. What can be recycled never sees a landfill. Reusables are donated to local charities. G3 Junk Removal Service. Check their reviews, then make the call. G3 Junk Removal. Look them up online or on Facebook and get it handled now.
Business banking made personal and easy. It's Timberland Bank's way to take the time to find solutions and services for your business. And as simple as opening a business account online. We provide cash management and merchant services, remote deposit, payment processing solutions, and of course, business loans, complete with fast, local support. It's what we do, so let's do it for you.
Banking made easy. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender. Timberland Bank. How can we help you?
Did you know Kohl's Home Sale is going on right now? You can save on everything you need to refresh your space for spring. I just got 25% off Sonoma Goods for Life bedding, bath towels for only $8.49, and 40% off home decor. On top of those great prices, I got an extra 15% off and earned Kohl's cash. Word of advice, shop Kohl's Home Sale if you want to bring home the savings. Select styles. 15% offer ends February 21st. Some exclusions apply. See store or kohls.com for details.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Did you know that United Healthcare helps connect you to doctors and therapists with 24/7 access to virtual care?
So I could have therapy from my couch?
Yep.
Or a doctor appointment from my car?
If you wanted to.
Wait, you're right. I don't even like when people see me sing in the car. Couch appointment it is.
Virtual visits are just one of the ways United Healthcare helps connect you to better health. Learn more at UHC.com. Plan benefits may vary.
I'm Peter Greenberg, and this is today's Eye on Travel Minute. More and more of us are looking for fewer crowds when we travel. We know the popular places in Europe and the Caribbean, but what about the places with the fewest visitors? Many are in the South Pacific, locations like the Marshall Islands, a chain of about 1,000 islands, but the total number of visitors each year? About 6,000. Then there's the island of Nauru, one of the least visited countries in the world, also one of the smallest, and welcomes about 200 visitors a year. And Kiribati, the former Gilbert Islands in the Pacific, about 1,400 miles from Fiji. All these destinations are accessible by air and have social distancing baked in. For more information, visit petergreenberg.com. I'm Peter Greenberg, and this is today's Eye on Travel Minute.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Visit libertymutual.com to learn more. libertymutual.com.
And welcome back here with Dave Weber and myself, Noel Wall, on Hoop Talk, where we are fresh out of hoops for this Friday. But man, do we have a bunch of stuff. This is KGY's own and Thurston County's only high school sports roundup show, and we have sports coming up in this segment. We're going to start with volleyball, where Dave Olympia has had a great volleyball program and got a new coach that is highly regarded.
Yeah, Lori Creighton finally retired after 43 years. Went out on a high note, took the Bears to state this year. So good career, good ending for Lori. And not unlike Tumwater when they replaced Sid Otten after 40-plus years with a former player in Bill Beatty. Olympia does the same thing. Bob Kickner, the athletic director, announcing yesterday that Christy Oldright has been named the new coach. She was a second-team All-State player for the Bears back in the early part of the century, and she still holds the Bears career record for kills, and she was quite a player and went on to play at the University of Texas El Paso. And since then she's coached as an assistant under Creighton for a few years and also took over the Ole Rain club team about 5 or 6 years ago. So she's a former Bear player and she's versed in the volleyball community around here and teaches middle school at Salish in Lacey. So that's her background, and it's always tough to follow a legend, but hopefully for her she can do just as Bill Beatty did when he went to Tumwater, and that's keep the thing going. If the Olympia can keep having a good ball club, nobody's gonna sad to say, but in a few years it'll be Christy's the coach at Olympia, not Lori. But right, for the first couple of years, you're always going to be the person that replaced Lori Creighton. So good luck to her in keeping the program going well. You don't need to change it if they went to state this year.
So. No, that's right. Well, she's got good credentials, so good luck, and we hope that continues with some success there. Swimming finals are this weekend. We don't have a lot of swimmers going.
Yeah, this is as down a year for Thurston County swimming as I have seen since I've been working part-time at the Olympian, which goes back to 2013. And it may be there's a couple things in play. Maybe the pandemic had something to do with it. Maybe the lack of access. They can still access it, but there's the Evergreen Recreation Center on campus out at the Evergreen State College is not open to the public as much as it used to be. So the swimmers are one of the few off-campus users, and that's Olympian Capital that swim there. So there's maybe a few factors that are working against them, but realistically, when you look through the what they call site sheets in swimming, only Olympia's Tony Ponomarev appears to have a chance to reach the medal stand in his events in 4A at the in 4A or any of the categories for our local athletes. He's the only one. He is in 4A at the state meet, which of course is always held at the King County Aquatic Center, and Tony will be swimming in the 4A 200 yard IM. And he's also going to be in the 100 backstroke, and that's where he has his best shot. He's seated behind only Andy Gilston of Hanford in that event. So there's a few others that are gone from various schools, but they're seated, you know, say 10th or 12th. So they don't even figure to be in the finals if form follows. But Tony Ponomarev, who I did interview a couple of years ago, I think, for the Olympian, may have had some of his interview on the air. He has a good shot at least that one event.
All right. Well, good luck to Tony there. We do have a bunch of participants at Matt Classic that starts today. Probably underway already, and you're late for the door.
No, I'm not late. I'm going to be late, but I'm not. I'm actually not late. It starts at 10.
Okay. It doesn't start yet.
I'm going to give myself a little bit of time to regroup. As long as I get there for the second round, I'll be able to, you know, get the interviews I need and do a story for both of the people who are signing me to cover that event. But yeah, it starts at 10. They optimistically say it's going to be over at 5:45, and I just know anyone that's a wrestling person or a wrestling fan in the audience is getting a good chuckle about that, because I'm figuring if I'm lucky, I'll get out of there by 8. But
yeah,
it tends to go quite a long ways. But you know, there are literally thousands of matches that take place the first day at the Tacoma Dome. It is, as we've said many a time, it's one of the most, even discounting the action on the mats, it's one of the most amazing sights you'll see, with so many people just packed into a venue and moving about to go to the different mats or moving about in the stands to get different angles on the matches. Pretty impressive to see. And as we were talking about off the air, it's pretty impressive to see the logo this year, because they do use the Roman numerals like the Super Bowl. And this is Matt Classic 33. So it's XXXIII. And that looks kind of unique on paper.
But all right,
getting around to our locals, 57 wrestlers, by my count, from the schools that we cover here on the show will have their first round match sometime after 10 a.m. And there are a few of those. Unlike in swimming, there are a few that are ranked high enough in the various rankings to seem to be threats to reach the podium tomorrow night. And let's just take a quick look at the girls and name a few people. In the girls, if people don't realize it, in the girls, it's all one classification. There's no 1A, 2A, 3A. It's just girls. Black Hills' Sloan Kruger and River Ridge's Isabella Moore are both pretty highly ranked at the 105 weight classification. And Yelm's Madison Erickson at 115, Samantha Blank at 140, and Cameron Erickson at 155 all appear to have a shot at, if not winning the tournament, getting to the podium.
Yeah. Well, we did hear from Sloan in an earlier episode of Hoop Talk, and we have the Yelm girls coach, Amy Early, who you interviewed earlier this week. And here she is.
So I want to ask you about the two sisters first.
Okay.
What makes Madison good?
Well, Maddie's been wrestling since she was little. I mean, her and my daughter used to be practice partners when they were in the Twisters. And, you know, Maddie just loves the sport. It's, you know, it's her favorite sport. She does fast pitch too, but she, you know, she loves wrestling. And she, you know, she's kind of a student in the sport. She's always watching matches and other people's matches and, you know, trying to come up with kind of the new latest thing that she wants to do. And she's just, what's really happened with her this year, more so than last year as a freshman, which we didn't really have a season last year, you know, is that she's just, her intensity is so, you know, her offense, she's just offensive the whole time. It's okay. Hard to stop her, you know.
And was she not offensive before?
She was, but I think just coming into the you know, into the high school scene, just like, you know, it's, she came out of middle school and freestyle and, yeah, you know, it's getting, having to wrestle freshmen or seniors and stuff. She was, I think, just a little more tentative. Maddie's not really aggressive as much as she's just highly technical. And, you know, she just, her intensity doesn't stop. She's intense from the moment the whistle blows until the match is done. And, you know, and she doesn't wrestle with, like, you know, she's, her only agenda is technique. That's it. Yeah. You know, technique and speed. And
she doesn't get mad.
Nope. Yeah. She doesn't get mad. She doesn't. She, you know, I never have to worry about her. You know, I mean, probably the biggest worry I ever had with her at the beginning of the season was, like, when she would do a takedown, putting them down gently. Because she was so fast, you know, so explosive that she would get him up and, you know, it's like, okay, slow down, you know, because they can get disqualified if they don't return him safely to the mat. And so, yeah, I mean, once she got that dialed in and made sure she was bringing him down good, no, she's, yeah.
How about Cameron? What's the best part about her?
You know, Cameron, she doesn't quite have the love of the sport that Maddie has, but she loves the team environment, and it really wasn't until probably the last month that Cameron really started wrestling the way that we know she can wrestle. And I honestly don't even know what happened. It's just all of a sudden, Cameron showed up. No, she's a junior.
Oh, that doesn't explain.
And we were all just like, what is, even other coaches were like, Cameron decided to wrestle? I mean, and she just has been dominant. I mean, she won regionals. Her and Maddie both won regionals against really good competition. And I mean, that's the time of season to peak.
Yeah. What do you see the dynamic between them? Do they help each other be good or?
Not really. Yeah. I mean, they're different weights. You know, Maddie's 115, he's 155. And so they really don't, they're not practice part. And if they do, it's more of like a sister battle.
Yeah, right?
You know, no, I think Maddie kind of pushes Cameron. And
yeah, maybe she's don't want to be outdone by her little sister.
I think it's part of it.
Yeah.
You know, there's a little bit of that sibling rivalry going on, and which I love.
Oh, you know. Whatever works.
Yeah, whatever works. Yeah.
Sorry. So what about the rest of the team?
Probably the most exciting thing I think about the team this year, it's been a hard year. I mean, it's just been really rough on the girls with the constant schedule changes and testing all the time. And, you know, it's just been rough, you know. I mean, and this is second season of this.
Right.
It's really, really hard to keep them going and keep them positive. And we have all of our girls we have six girls going to state. We have two freshmen, two sophomores, and two juniors, you know.
That's not bad, right?
No, and so we're going to have them all, you know, they're all going to have, you know, more years, which is great. You know, we have Lily Lawson, who's a brand new wrestler, first year, 170-pound wrestler. She is a sophomore. So, I mean, that's really exciting. We've got two freshmen. We've got Samantha Blank, who is 140, and we have Kylie Minker, who's 170, and both of them have just kind of, you know, peaked at the right. And Sam's a judo girl, so she's kind of, you know, used to competition, and Kylie came out of the youth program. So, I mean, it's really exciting, you know, as far as, and the team attitude is really good. They're, you know, they're excited to go to state. They're excited for what it's, you know, what they're going to be able to do. And with girls, you know, I mean, you're taking on the whole state. So our region has 70 teams in it. I mean, it's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
so,
great.
Yeah. So, no, I mean, I'm super happy about, you know, about the season.
And that's Amy Early, the girls' wrestling coach at Yelm, talking about some of the six wrestlers who are going to be at Matt Classic today.
Yeah, they don't have a chance. They're ranked fifth in the weekly poll by Washington Wrestling Report. But they, as Amy said in part of that interview that we didn't play, she doesn't think they're deep enough to pull off a state championship, which they've done a couple of times in the past. But this won't be the year, but with those six underclass girls all hopefully coming back for more wrestling in the future, they look like they've got the core to make a run in a future season.
Yeah, they could. And not just girls going to the mat today.
No, a lot of boys. Five times as many, I guess, if you think about it, because there's five different divisions of boys wrestling. And from our local area, I'll just pick out, maybe it looks like about 8 or 10 guys that have a chance to do particularly well. In the B bracket, there's only one B, two Bs together, so it's just a B bracket. Ryan Dodge at 160 and Ryder Cruz at 285 both give Rainier some hopes of bringing back a medal. And in 2A, Black Hills has 105-pounder Mikey Johnston that we had on the show a week ago. And Shelton has Ryan Makowitz at 170 and Mario Boxley at 182. And looking at 3A, Capitals 106-pounder Caden Haggerty looms pretty tough, as does Capitals 170-pound Ezekiel McEwen. Yelm will be sending a typically large contingent of boys up there with 12 kids going, and they have some medal threats. Jeffrey Myers, undefeated at 120. Logan Platt is undefeated at 195. And interestingly, they also have the third-ranked 195-pound wrestler in Ray Wright. And he would be undefeated, but two times he was scheduled to meet Logan in a final and decided not to. He just went ahead and, forfeited out of the event so that Logan could stay undefeated and he could not have to wrestle his teammate. So they are sending two guys of the top three at one weight category into the state meet. I imagine if they get to the final in this one, they probably go ahead and wrestle. But
you would think so, yeah.
They've been trying to avoid that, and that has led to Ray being one of the best wrestlers in the state, who is not ranked number one in his category because he's got another kid from his own school a little bit ahead of him there. And Logan's brother, Braden Platt, the sophomore, all three of these guys, people have remembered us talking about them during football season. They're all really good football players as well. And their third-ranked Braden Platt, who also already has Pac-12 offers in football, he's ranked third at 285. He is nowhere near 285 pounds. He is barely over the 220. That's the next lowest category down. But he is decisively over it. Doesn't want to try to make that weight, so he wrestles at 285 when he himself weighs about 230. But he says that his speed gives him an advantage over the bigger guys, and he's not really worried about taking on 280-pounders.
Yes, and we did hear about that, actually, in the interview with the coach. We'll go ahead and play that, all right?
All right.
Here we go.
Well, Logan took second to state 2 years ago.
Right.
And we missed it last year, but he's got so much physical ability that that's his plus,
And when he was in finals 2 years ago, what caused him to lose? What would the other guy was
just experience. He was just experience, only a sophomore that year.
And what do you think he's developed? Just from the experience?
The experience. I wish I would have hit him out last year, but he'd be much better.
And what about Braden?
Braden's, there we go, he's a sophomore.
Right.
And of course, you know how good of a football player he is.
Yes,
he's just very athletic. He weighed about 240, 235 when he first came out. And I said, well, let's get you big. But he hasn't been able to put on the weight, and probably because of the workouts we have. He's quick and strong.
Yeah, he said he doesn't mind being light because the other guys are slower.
Yeah, exactly.
Does he have a chance to win it when he gets up there?
Yeah. He's got a really tough semifinal match coming up.
Yeah.
Kid that wrestled 4A 2 years ago and placed third in state.
So who else? I mean, we're focusing on them because there's two girls that are sisters.
Yeah, well,
I've
got a 120-pounder. He's 24-0 right now. Jeffrey Myers has had a real strong season. He's got his side of the bracket's really, really loaded. He can get through to the finals, but he's going to have to really be on top of his game. I'm excited for him to do well. And Ray Wright,
he's in the same thing with Logan, right?
He hasn't lost a match this year.
I saw that.
He's got two two losses on it, but those are injury defaults to Logan in the finals.
Oh, okay.
So when they've got together in the finals for district and regionals, the race is, I'll take the injury default.
Let him move on. Okay. Yeah, Ray is kind of, that's kind of how he's in football, too. He's one of the best players out there.
Yeah.
He doesn't get the highlights. We're going to have to write a story about him.
He's kind of quiet and subdued. But you get him in the playing field or on the mat, and he's an animal.
The Elm wrestling coach, Gaylord Strand, right there. And, you know, if they can finish high enough, Elm kind of does have enough wrestlers going to finish somewhere up in the state.
Yeah, you know, Gaylord said during that conversation that he thinks they do have an outside shot at coming in first. Others are saying that Meade, which I guess was 4A before and came down to 3A, just has too much and that they're going to win without too much trouble. We'll see. But, you know, when you just talk about year after year participation, one of the things Gaylord mentioned was that you get a plaque for finishing at a certain point in state. And Yelm has been that high 21 straight years.
Wow.
You know, so they've been one of the better teams for decades. And, you know, everybody thinks about him simply being their coach for 47 years. But he's been their successful coach for 47 years, as they have done good things most years.
Yeah, that is amazing. And you're headed up there later today. You'll be covering for both newspapers here and at the other end of the state.
Yeah, Spokane Spokesman Review. I think this will be the third or fourth time that I've done that for that newspaper. And they have a lot of good wrestlers. So even though I only see them once a year, it's kind of good to, you know, develop a little bit of remembrance from year to year for who the top players and top teams are. And it's fun to watch them. And then the Olympian is asking me to eke out a story in between all that. So I'll be very busy the next couple days. I will be very happy when Sunday comes.
All right.
Be done with a lot of work.
Very good. Matt Classic today and tomorrow at Tacoma, at the Tacoma Dome. If you find yourself up there and brave enough to leave the parking lot for lunch somewhere, there's a classic 50s diner there, or drive-in, I should say, that Guy Fieri's Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives featured. Frisco Freeze on Division, just up from Stadium High School near Wright Park. It's where I ate all my hamburgers in high school. Plan to eat in your car, though, because there is no inside at Frisco Freeze. If you look for seating, travel a couple of minutes to the south end of the park, where on 6th Avenue is the Hobnob Cafe. It's been a Tacoma favorite for decades, originally built in 1929. The Hobnob is on the National Register of Historic Places, and the Hobnob Room is right out the back door. Going on tomorrow, Taliva Shoals Sailboat Race is put on by the Olympia Yacht Club and the South Sound Sailing Society. The race has several classifications starting tomorrow with the first start around 10 o'clock in the morning. And it'll be an outgoing tide with a following wind that could result in a very colorful and exciting spinnaker start. Should be visible from several points around Bud Inlet and even out at Boston Harbor. You can see the boats go by. This is the biggest of the annual South Sound races, attracts up to 100 sailboats of all sizes. And I personally have sailed the race many times in boats from 21 to 54 feet. And my cousin is going to be on that fun 54-footer tomorrow, black hull with the name Jam on it. That would be fun. I'm envious of his position on that boat tomorrow. Dave, I've been watching the Olympics. Have you?
Here and there, not as much as I used to.
Yeah, no, and I watched the women hockey team play for silver the other day, and it's been the United States and Canada, and Canada and the United States. And with men's hockey, you know, my favorite trivia question, which I spoke about earlier, it involves the Miracle on Ice, and the Miracle on Ice is a game that a lot of people remember. The question is, who did the United States defeat to win the gold medal the year of the Miracle on Ice?
Sweden?
Close. It was Finland.
Finland. Yeah.
And a lot of people...
I knew it wasn't the Russians, because that was the semifinal.
That was the semifinal, and that was the miracle, was the Russians.
Yes, so, it was. That's a whole different era. That was the Soviet Union, a whole different place. So.
Yes, yep. Quite a bit of fun. Well, there we have it. That's a look at kind of what's going on in and around sports for this weekend, and looking forward to next week. Next week's show, we're going to have wrestling results and hopefully a little bit of sound from Matt Classic, from some of the coaches and wrestlers. So we'll hope to get that. This show is brought to you in part by a passion for high school sports coverage, but mostly it's brought to you by our sponsors. Do us a favor and support them. Big thank you to executive producer Kevin the Brit Huffer. Nothing executive about him. He was crawling around here fixing things before we went on the air this morning again. So thanks to him. Thanks to you for listening. And if you missed something, you can find the podcast, like, for instance, the Olympia basketball wrap, which we did towards the front of the show, and normally it's at the back end. Anyway, you can find the podcast on KGYFM.com. Join us next Friday morning for Hoop Talk. Again, we'll finish up wrestling, and we'll look forward to the state basketball tournaments. Right now, time for the weekday workday kickoff on Olympia's 95.3 KGY.